Was that a Nashville Shogger? When Mac T
That
was
was in
upset with you?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay. Nice.
I was in Minnesota,
Yeah.
and I remember it happened. And then the funnier stuff was everything that happened off camera afterwards that was never put on television. But there was quite the conversation and expletives and a lot of frustration being thrown around. So when that happens as a reporter, you're like, oh, okay, well, I can't look like I'm hiding. So I changed my flight to a 6 a.m. the next day so I could race back to town and get out to practice and happen to be standing there in the scrum the next morning. And I was exhausted and wearing pretty much the same clothes. But I was there the next day.
The best part was when he said, do you have a question? And then you asked him the exact, oh, we got to get that clip. Where the hell
No,
is it?
he said, why don't you ask me what I thought of the game instead of telling me what you thought?
Oh,
And
yeah.
I said, okay, what'd you think of the game, Craig? And then he said, is there anything else here? He was fed up and done with it.
Oh man. So,
Yeah, we've since had a laugh about it,
oh, of
and
course.
it's a
Why don't
long
you?
time ago.
Oh yeah. I've had Ray Ferraro and I still chuckle about the time him and I almost came to blows in the order room many years ago when he was working for
Oh really?
Sportsnet.
I don't know who I'd taken that fight. I don't know who I'd taken that fight.
It was quite
I don't
funny.
know about that. Actually, you know what? I'll get an opinion. Let
Good
me
for
ask
you,
Parker
man.
really quickly. Would you take Ray Ferraro or Jason Gregor in a dressing room scrap? He says Ferraro, hands
Yeah,
down. You're
he
out of there,
starts on the
Jason.
six, I
That's
think.
from ace cameraman Dave Parker.
Well, we'll see. We'll never know. Ferraro and I would joke about it over beers one night.
Yeah,
It's always
that's
one of
what you
those where
want.
you're like, well, who do you
Yeah.
think would win? I'm like, well, it depends. I said I'd definitely have
He'll
the
be all
reach
over the place.
advantage. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
I was
but he
ju
fights dirty. He would fight so dirty.
That'd be
And
the
you would
best
try and
part.
fight with a little bit of honor, and it would be
No,
the end of
I'll
you.
be honest. I've never. I've ne The few times I have been in fights in my life, yeah. There's no. The one thing you were taught was try to hit first if you're going to do it, and hopefully hit them hard enough they don't get up. But yeah, you never want to say, "Oh,
Yes.
hey, how's it going? Oh, here, I'll let you land a few." No, unfortunately, if you ever make
Yeah.
that decision to do it, then yeah, unfortunately, I don't think you like I was never a hair puller or anything like that. But yeah, I don't think you would. You don't necessarily fight completely
Yeah.
honorable in that situation.
Well, I'm a lover, not a fighter, man. Total pacifist. So just walk away.
Oh, well, that's not really true, but that's okay. I want to talk. Well, let's start with Dallas Eakins' comments today. I'm
Okay.
not, I'm not surprised. I didn't expect him to come out and rip the organization by any stretch. And came
Sure.
out and talked like he's still a member of the orders, which, of course, well, even though he's still getting paid, and you don't just suddenly switch your allegiance in 24 hours. I wouldn't expect that. But
Yeah.
the patience theme, do you think it was the right thing for him to go out on telling the fans that they have to be patient?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm in Arizona here. I was on a 6 a.m. flight, so I've listened to about three quarters of what Dallas said today, 'cause just getting finished working here. And you know what? I think Dallas, I think, felt this was a way to go out and try and help the organization on his way out the door in his own way. And I think he did that in his mind by, projecting a lot of confidence in Craig McTavish, saying that he had no hard feelings, that he was treated fair, the belief that it'll turn around, and asking the patience, asking the fans for something that anybody still working in the organization simply can't do, which is asking the fans for more patience. So I think it came from a pretty genuine place in Dallas Eakins' mind. Whether it'll resonate with fans at all or not, we've been here through 8 or 9 years of this now, and Dallas has been here for 18 months. So it's maybe a little bit of a different perspective on it, but I believe his intentions were pretty pure today.
Yeah, I don't discount it. And like I said off the top of the show, if they want to preach patience, which I understand why you need it, it takes a while to build it. I don't discount that. However, there needs to be progression and moving forward where you see, okay, like
Oh, yeah.
this year you should say, hey, the Edmonton Oilers, hey, man, if they can get 80 points or 84 points, you'd say, okay, that's progression. They're getting closer. You see some signs. They're in games. They win. Not winning 7 of 31 games, not being near the bottom in goals for and goals against, like there's no improvement.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you ask fans for patience, yet yield nothing in the way of a sign that there's light at the end of the tunnel, other than high draft picks. So to continue year after year after year to ask people to maintain their patience and keep buying their tickets and to stay the course with you, that just gets old. I mean, that's old after 3 years, let alone eight, right? So, you know, for a little while it was all these young guys and all the promise of the future, and oh, it's the Chicago model, it's the this model, the that model. People were buying into how fast it could potentially be, and as it turns out, it's been a long, long, long painful process, and there isn't really a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. So I don't blame fans for their pessimism, for their frustration. I don't blame fans for any ounce of what they're feeling. And if anybody in the organization asking for patience is falling on deaf ears, I can understand that.
What Craig McTavish was writing the practice today. He's the head coach. Todd Nelson, I guess.
Yeah, buddy. There were six coaches on ice today. It was crazy. It was like a 1-3 ratio of coaches to player. Maybe it's a new thing they should go with. More coaches, more one-on-one coaching time. Well, like six coaches on the ice today.
Well, it's not a good sign when you have more NHL coaches than you have NHL centermen.
Well, Mac T would probably be the third line center on this team right now still.
Yeah, like he's going to get an up close personal look of how tough it is to be competitive. And I understand the team's on, and that's where what do you think his reasoning of putting himself in this position is? Like, cuz does it not kind of make Todd Nelson look like they don't feel he's ready yet?
No. What I would say is he's shielding Todd Nelson. I think the barn is on fire. The horse is out of the barn. The barn is on fire. It's smoldering and burning to the ground. And if he were to just throw Todd Nelson onto the bench, it would be like sending him in with a half-empty bucket. I think Craig is walking in with the fire hose. He's going to try and get the fire put out. And once it's put out, he'll let Todd do his thing. I think that he feels like throwing Todd into this mix right now is unfair based on how far it's gone, how bad it is, and what's going on in that locker room. So I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is he really does want to get his fingers and his hands on this thing and take a close look, see what's really going on in that room, see what's really going on from bench level. He admitted today it's just not the same watching from up top. So it's part of it is shielding Todd and being fair to him. The other part of it is getting a real close accounting and figuring out who's still on board and who's still with the program, and the way to do that is from the bench.
What do you think he's going to see?
Oh, I think he's going to see a whole bunch of bad habits, the same as he sees in the press box. I think he's going to see a little bit more effort out of his players. They'll get a little bump here for a little bit. Everyone will be on their best behavior, so any bad habits or off-ice habits or whatever, those will be gone for the time being. Everyone will clean up their act, and it'll be flying the straight and narrow while the boss is behind the bench. It's a lot different skating back to the bench after throwing a puck up, to the opposition at the defensive blue line when the guy who can trade you is standing there waiting for you on the bench. It'll be different for these players. And I think it'll be a nice cold bucket of water in the face for them. But there's a long way to go, and he'll get a sense for just how hamstrung Dallas actually was in terms of trying to be competitive night in, night out.
What if this team actually tries harder consistently for the final 51 games? What will that say about Dallas Eakins in your mind?
Well, I mean, if it's clear that they're working harder, that they are, that the effort level is there, there's a different level of sacrifice and commitment, and it's evident in the way they play, then it's fair to question why Dallas wasn't able to get that out of them. I think a certain amount of it comes from having watched another head coach's head roll and these guys looking in the mirror and going, okay, some of this has to be on us. Let's go. There's going to be a bump from that reality. So, but I think a fair amount of it is reasonable to question why Dallas wasn't able to get that improvement. Craig said something interesting today, and I know you've had Todd Nelson on your show a lot before, and good guy. Everybody really likes Todd Nelson who knows him. One of the things Craig said today was that Todd's teams always play for each other and always play hard for him. And that, you're reading between the lines, maybe some of what's wrong with this team, Todd Nelson is the right guy to fix mentally with this group in terms of getting them to play for each other. Because I haven't gotten that sense with this team in a long time. I don't remember the last time I felt that way about watching the Oilers play.
Yeah. Do you get a sense?
And if that characteristic alone can make a difference in that part of their game, if Todd Nelson can at least find a way to get them to do that a little bit more, then there will be improvement.
Ryan Rashog joined us. The Rashog Report brought to you by the Golf Den. Do you get a sense, Ryan, that when McTavish says that, that there was a, not necessarily maybe a cultural problem that might be too extreme, but there was a clear separation from some pro Aikens guys in the room and some who maybe weren't on the exact same page?
Yeah, I mean, I think every dressing room has a little bit of that. Guys who are on the same page with the coach, guys who aren't, young guys, old guys. It's a little bit clicky. I mean, nobody, you know, 23 men, you know, on any team in any situation, not everybody's going to be besties. But was it a fracture? Was it a massive division? I don't have evidence to support that. I know for a fact there were some guys who were frustrated with Dallas. There were some guys who were fully on board with them. So, I think that, you know, Todd has experience with these players. Todd has experience with Taylor Hall. And by the way, like, we, you know, we'll have a story on SportsCenter today, but we got in there with Taylor Hall and we asked him some pretty significant questions based on what's gone on the last few days and about Taylor needing to look in the mirror a little bit on and off the ice. And I get the feeling that Taylor is in that mindset right now where he, this is a little bit shaking. This is his fourth head coach. Todd will end up being his fifth in his in now in Taylor's 5 years here. And I think that the question is being asked if maybe he's the problem or a big part of the problem. And I think it's fair to ask that question after this many head coaches. And I think maybe Taylor takes a look in the mirror and tries to figure out if maybe he is.
Yeah, I, the reason I take issue with that, and I'm not saying that, he is not adverse to criticism. Of course, he is. And Dallas Eakins admitted it today, Ryan. And I have said this for years. The biggest concern I have with the organization, and it's why I said Taylor Hall wasn't ready for the captaincy. I'd be the one who's saying that. So yeah. I've never said he was a captain, because he's not captain material, and that's not a knock. Not everybody is captain material. But this organization went out basically, and Dallas, they look at young players, and they say, and in a lot of cases, hey, Norris Trophy potential, $6 million contracts. The proof, the actions are there in what they've said and how they believe that these kids were all going to be the future. A, they didn't really surround them with tons of support, veteran guys, leaders that could really and really teach them. And then now that the kids suddenly couldn't handle all of this pressure they heaped on them, it's like it's their fault. And that, to me, I take a huge issue with the organization that they can't, because it's not a first time. They're doing it again with Leon Dreisaitl. They're doing it again. Here's a guy. Let's put him as our second line center. He's not ready for that. Dallas Eakins, his exact quote was, you know what? Even I was guilty at time. When they pull the jersey on, you think you're men and you want them to play like 28, 9-year-olds, but they're not. And so if Taylor Hall, you know what? He's kind of an introvert a little bit. Like, it takes you a while to get to know Taylor Hall. He's not a big, smiley guy. That's not his personality, right? So you can't expect him to be something he's not. And when I hear the Taylor Hall, to me, I just find it's another scapegoat from upper management, because they're the ones who put the young players in positions to fail.
Yeah, no, and I agree with your sense. I think that any player, like whether it's Taylor, Jordan, Ryan, Nail, Justin Schultz, whoever, if any of these players are causing issues off the ice, or if any of them are maybe less than what they would be expected as professionals, the Oilers in large part are responsible for that, because they gave them so much so early in their careers, right? To whom much is given, much is expected. Well, you know, they were given so much, the keys to this entire thing, and then all kinds of money, and then all kinds of praise and all kinds of expectation. And so it is the Oilers' monster, if that is the case. But the fix is going to be with the player, and the fix is going to be with everybody looking in the mirror. So I'm not going to absolve any of these players of any level of accountability that might be required. I'm not going to pretend to know everything that's going on in that dressing room, but, you know, four and five head coaches here for Taylor Hall, it's too much. And I think it's perfectly reasonable to expect Taylor to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, what's my part in this? How can I be better? And I think that's probably what he's doing.
Oh, sure. He can be better. There's no arguing that. He can be better. But like, if they're asking Taylor Hall to do that, Ryan, I would sure like management to say, you know what? What can we do to be better? Because clearly they're not.
Oh, yeah, buddy, for sure. And that's, you know, they will tell you that that's what they're in the process of doing right now, that that's what they've been in the process of doing all along. But I think it needs to get real. And I think the reality of the situation needs to be made very evident for everybody inside that organization. And maybe Bob Nicholson is the one who can do that. Maybe he's the one that comes in a little bit from the outside and sort of goes, what are we doing here? You know, and hiring practices and all those sorts of things that we've discussed on the show are brought to bear at a boardroom with all the heavyweights, and it really needs to be aired out. But I completely agree. I mean, there are so many angles to this. The players have to be better for sure, but there are so many layers in which management needs to do a better job. It's endless. And really, whether you want to start from the bottom and work your way up or the top and work your way down, pretty much everybody's going to be painted with the needs to be better brush.
Yep, very true. Now, one last one. So McTavish was running practice, but Todd Nelson is the head coach on record from what I'm understanding. So is McTavish running the bench tonight, or is Todd Nelson running the bench?
No, Craig is running the bench tonight.
But Nelson's the head. And the reason I ask that, because if the Oilers won tonight or lost, it goes towards Nelson's coaching record, not McTavish.
Yeah, I'm looking at the game sheet here, and it does have Nelson as the head coach. It has Craig McTavish as the general manager. But no, my understanding is, and I asked Craig, I said, what are you doing on your bench? Like, you got six coaches. And he at that time either didn't know or wasn't willing to say. They're still trying to sort that out and figure it all out. My guess is that Nelson will be on the bench with McTavish and probably Craig Ramsey. I don't know that Keith Atkins stays on the bench. I'm not sure. And then no reason to change anything with Rocky Thompson. So it's a matter of Atkins versus Ramsey on the bench tonight, as far as I'm concerned, and we'll see which way he goes with it. My best guess is that it'll be Craig Ramsey if it's not both of them.
Well, Shogar, have fun, and hopefully the Pittsburgh Penguins or the New York Rangers haven't been in Arizona recently, because Bo Bennett just announced that he has the mumps as well, so try to avoid that
You're
as much
kidding
as possible.
Me.
Nope. So.
Holy smokes, man. I'm going to put on one of those masks and wear rubber gloves around.
Yeah, not even joking about that. So be safe. Avoid the mumps.
Yeah, for sure. That's getting to be a disturbing number.
Because as you talked about the size of your head, the last thing you want is your cheeks filling up even more. So let's make sure that doesn't happen.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.